Hi everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Microbrands. Lunch with Norm. All right, today we have an awesome episode. Brian Johnson from Canopy Management is going to be on the podcast with me today. And in case you don't know Brian has helped over 20,000 brands become more successful through his ad strategy. And believe me when I tell you this, Brian's one of these guys that you can sit down with and he will blow your mind because he knows, this guy's just a wealth of knowledge. Anyways, what we're going to do today is we're going to dive deep into some new PPC strategies, as well as how to defend your product airspace. So get that. If you haven't heard this, this is a little different. I hear that, you know, people talking about PPC and, you know, what we can do and, you know, what sponsor brand. This one is actually going to, Brian's going to help us talk about defending that airspace. So the defensive instead of the offensive. All right, so Kelsey, where are you? Hey.
Happy, it's almost Thanksgiving. We won't be having the show, obviously, for Thanksgiving.
But what is it, Thanksgiving Eve?
Thanksgiving Eve, that's
there
right.
There we go.
So everyone watching, you can go ahead and put your favorite Thanksgiving meal or your side dish, whatever, post in the comment sections. And yeah, let us know where you're watching from. It's always great to see. We do have a really great giveaway. We actually have two giveaways, so stick around for that. I want to just put this here. But yes, if you haven't already, give this video a like, share it with your friends, and yeah, we'll get started. We are on social media, so you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and as a podcast, you can find us on Spotify and Apple, wherever you listen to your podcast.
You nailed it. And yes. Once again, please smash, ring bells, like, do whatever you need to do. We're trying to grow this thing. Yep. All right. So today we're broadcasting live on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And if you are watching on a replay, just skip ahead, get right to the meat. And if you're watching on my profile page, you can always skip ahead and go to the official fan page, aka or Norm Farrar. Now, aka The Beard Guy. And you can see today's episode as along with other full-length episodes, highlights, and other types of comments.
And this is the Facebook group. We're streaming to the Facebook group today. So
yeah, I keep forgetting to say that.
If you see Facebook user, anyone that's commenting, it's one of the downfalls of StreamYard is that this says Facebook user. So we can't see your name, unfortunately, but just clarify. But yeah, follow us. We have a Facebook group too. Forgot to mention Norman, our Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA, and e-commerce collective. So,
all right. And before we get started, I just wanted to say hello. Hey, shout out to Dr. Kaz. And I see that there's a bunch of Facebook users. Unfortunately, I can't tell your name. And I see Leonard. How are you, Leonard? Thanks for joining us again. All right, Kels. So I guess if anybody has questions, throw it over in the comment section. We definitely will get to them. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, and Mr. Johnson. Hello, hey, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Yeah, the whole Thanksgiving Eve. Yeah, Turkey Eve. Yeah.
Turkey Eve. You know Tim Jordan.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking to him in his group the other night, and he was talking to me about sweet potato casserole.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what that is?
Well, we actually eat quite a bit of sweet potatoes, so we've seen pretty much every form of it. But yeah, I actually had that for the first time just a couple years ago. I didn't make it. Somebody else did, of course, so it was actually done correctly. But yeah, it is like there's different variations where you can have there's different. Yeah. Anyway, you can use sweet potato in just about everything, and it's awesome. So
yeah, like he was talking to me about putting mushrooms on it or cashews. Anyway, I've never heard of
cashews,
it before.
Yeah.
But I gotta give this a try. I don't know if it's a southern thing, like up here in Canada. I've never heard it. But anyways, the thing that I like when we have our Thanksgiving is sugar pie. It's kind of like a big, it's like a big giant butter tart. And, you know, I'll have a pie by myself.
In my part of the country, we call that whiskey.
Ah. So, hey, Brian, you know, for anybody who's listening that doesn't know you, and I think everybody probably does, but why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your company?
Absolutely. So I am, believe it or not, I am actually, being on calls and speaking, that kind of stuff actually is exhausting for me. It's just, I'm more of an introvert kind of personality. I'm one of those engineer types that is a geek when it comes to Amazon advertising. And I've been doing it, I've been in e-commerce for about 14 years now. I've been in e-commerce in general. And then in Amazon in the last 6 years, some of you have may see some of my Frankenstein creations that I've created over the years with, PPC Scope and Sponsor Products Academy, the Amazon PPC Troubleshooting Group, and certainly, the flagship, which would be my done-for-you agency, which is Canopy Management. That's the one that is growing strong. We've got, what are we up to now? We've got 54 on our staff now. It's just crazy. Yeah. And we're international. We're really diverse and everything. But the energy of the team is phenomenal. I mean, like every day we're just shouting out how, thanking each other every single morning. It's really good energy in the company. So I love being here. My expertise, of course, is primarily Amazon advertising. That includes, the three main ad types on Amazon plus their DSP platform. That's something I geek out about pretty heavily. And then I also go in and study pretty heavily buyer psychology, including conversion rate optimization and product positioning to grab the shopper. It all works together. Those are kind of my passion topics that I enjoy talking about these days.
I'm just kind of curious. I remember you've come out to a couple live events we've had.
Yeah.
Greece and Costa Rica.
Costa Rica, yeah.
Yeah, they were cool. And I remember in Costa Rica, because I was the last one, but you were just launching Canopy. Like it was
2 years
up.
Ago.
It was
2.5 years ago, yeah.
I remember going up, doing that zip line, and we were just kind of together in that cart going up. And anyways, you were telling me about it. So I'm just curious, as an entrepreneur, how did you get this thing to grow so quick?
I've got no idea. No, it's let's put it this way. So anybody who kind of puts themselves out there like you do, like I do, like any of us who are out there speaking about what works and everything, we get a lot of hits from people who kind of knock down and say, oh, well, you're teaching, you're not doing, which isn't true, of course, because we're all selling also. But it's one of those things where you get in front of a lot of people and then they start relying on you, and it kind of puts pressure on you to be your best all the time, year after year. And so that's kind of what it takes to kind of stay in that lane. But starting the agency, I hadn't run an agency before. I've built software companies and sold them off and that kind of stuff. But from an agency standpoint, I didn't have any background experience in it. My business partner had some digital marketing experience as far as running an agency, but not to the scale that we were doing here, not to the manpower that we had behind it. And so we did end up doing some executive training, kind of like the CEO trainers, to try to, get a plan when we were struggling the first few months and we were landing on our face a number of times, by no mistakes, we make mistakes, we continue to do, but we make them less and we do bigger things greater. So, but ultimately it just can't, you got to grow, you have to change. You have to adapt to the needs of the client. You have to, there was a time when I would, just as a person, or I would speak in front of, I think one of the ones that I kind of figured out where my limit was speaking at like an amazing conference, 600 people in the room. And I was just like, I couldn't put two words together. I was just microphone shaking, and I was, a victim up in the lights. But, over the years, just through practice and everything, I've gotten a lot better, and part of this is just kind of pushing myself to grow and to learn and to read and to make mistakes and to overcome mistakes and just continue to fight and continue the tenacity and the pressure to grow as a person, grow as a team, you know. And, you know, our biggest challenge, I think, as the founders of the agency is we're not up here beating our chest leading, you know, 54 people. We are saying, you know, we're talking to the, you know, the guy or the gal who's at the lowest rung doing the simplest job saying, how can I help you today?
Right. So you know? This is interesting because I find it in, especially with PPC, I'll hear people all over talking to me about PPC strategy. And I'll hear old strategy from 4 years ago, 3 years ago, that my eyes really, you know, really doesn't work. Right. And then, you know, I hear people that are just on it. So where, like, is there a spot where we can start as individuals, not as somebody that's an agency? Where can we find or these different strategies that that might be available? Is that joining like a mastermind group like yours? Because there's so much misinformation out there. And I know I'm not saying this right. And I'm a bad interviewer. So anyways, hopefully your answer is better. I feel like I'm you on stage when you were saying this amazing conference. But there's only one person here. There's one person. So anyway, yeah. So
you know what?
How do we do that?
You know, I'm kind of polarizing on this. First of all, I acknowledge is that, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, and I certainly know that some of the practices that I taught a few years ago are still being taught, even though I've changed direction. You know, Amazon continually changes, so I have to continually change. The strategies change from year to year. You really do kind of want to focus in on saying, okay, when was this strategy created or taught last? Was it within the last 12 months? If not, you probably need to get more updated information. Now, on one side, I've got some of those most expensive training and tools and agency that's on the market because of how in depth and how, you know, the success that goes behind all that. But at the same time, for anybody who's starting out, frankly, there are YouTube channels. I've got a YouTube channel that I actually just started this year. There's YouTube. You can do searches on YouTube. You can join groups like the Amazon PPC troubleshooting group on Facebook and just say, hey, what's the current strategy? There's a resource list. There's a lot of free information you don't need to pay anybody for in your first year. Just come up with a basic strategy, attend some of the live workshops. Again, those are all free. There's a lot of free resources for you to take advantage of. Anybody who's been in my group for a period of time knows that that I give a lot of my time just to answering questions and stuff. And that's, I do 10 times that amount to my clients and my students and stuff. But, you know, really there's plenty of free information that's available. And really it's more about taking action and seeing if it works for your product and then figuring out from there. You don't have to run blind. There's guides that are available. And even if you pick one of the 30 different strategies that are available, pick something simple that you can implement today. Pick the next thing that you can implement this week. Pick something else that you can implement next week. It's more about the execution and the testing than it is having a perfect, you know, script to read by.
That's so well said. You know, just first of all, actions instead of intentions, and then just get something done.
Get something done. Absolutely.
All right. We're a day before Thanksgiving. We're a couple of days before Black Friday. It might be a little late. If we're not too late, what is something somebody can do right now, either now or prior to a holiday, to help out with their campaigns?
You know, obviously, you know, I shouldn't say obviously. So one of the simplest things that you can implement today that will still help you throughout the next few days is, you may have missed the boat as far as like things like, you know, Prime exclusive deals or lightning deals or some of the other promotion things that Amazon can do. You're not doing keyword research and market and product research in your advertising right now. Way too expensive. The conversion rates are jumping up and down on a weekly basis. And you only have about 2.5 weeks left in the season, right? In the selling season. It would have been 4 weeks, but with COVID, compressed, probably 2.5 weeks left. So you've got to kind of go aggressive in some of your advertising, but one of the simplest things that you can set up today, even as a novice, is simply just turning on a couple of automatic campaigns. Now, an automatic campaign by itself is like, okay, no big deal. But the way that I would set it up specifically for, you know, the Turkey Five or, you know, the Cyber 5 days, right? And that, of course, that's Friday through Tuesday. A lot of people cut it off at Monday, but it is 5 days actually. Is to simply set up an automatic campaign that is that includes some of your best converting products if you have more than one. Is bid to a point where it is, you know, maybe you set a bid that is a little bit above what your break even cost per click or break even bid is. If you don't know what that is based on your conversion rate and your price, you can look it up in my Facebook group, and there we got things that'll tell you how to calculate that. But ultimately, even if you come up with an arbitrary number and say, well, you know, some of my ads have been running and I tend to have an ACoS that is about where I think break even is when I have a $1 bid, great, set it for $1. And then set up a second automatic campaign, exact same products, except that one is going to be maybe 25% below that. It's what we call waterfalling the campaigns. What happens essentially is your first campaign will run until it runs out of budget. You'll get some sales. You'll spend that money throughout the first half of the days of these high traffic days, starting on Friday and going through Tuesday. And then usually about afternoon, you run out of budget on the first one, and automatically Amazon will roll over to the next available campaign, which is the second one that has a slightly lower bid, you know, maybe 25% below your first campaign's default bid. But then you have a bigger budget on that. So that runs even longer throughout the day, but it's running profitably throughout the day. We'll even add on a third one, which is kind of why we do the waterfall technique, is the third automatic campaign will have an even lower bid. Maybe it's, you know, half of what your break even is, or, you know, 25% below your second one. So you're basically, your bids are tearing down, but then your budgets are tearing up, you know, $20, $50, $500 on the third one. Have the last one have a huge budget as long as you've got a bid that is very, you know, that is well within your profitability range. Essentially what that does, and I typically run those only on high traffic days, you know, the prime days, the Cyber Five, high traffic days, because ultimately what happens here is that Amazon is starting out with the first one. They don't compete with each other because it only picks the first one to run. And then when that runs out of budget, it'll drop down to the second one. And then you're basically breaking even or even making a profit on the second one. And then by the third time, with the third campaign, when that kicks in, you're making a profit on everything that it can possibly spend. The biggest thing that's going to change is your competitive niche. Your competitors are making mistakes throughout the day that this is taking advantage of. They're losing the buy box because they're running out of budget. Their ads aren't running if they're running out of budget. Maybe they ran out of stock because they did so well. Maybe they got a violation, a penalty, and their listing got pulled. There's a number of reasons as far as why the number of competitors that you're going against from your advertising decreases throughout the day. As an example on this, just to kind of see what the potential on this, we had a product that was not an uncommon situation for some of these, but it was during Prime Day, where about 6 o'clock in the evening is when that third campaign picked up. And apparently all the rest of the competitors had fell to the wayside. You know, we're not competing against anymore. And a product that would normally have, you know, maybe, 20, 30,000 impressions in a month had over 1 million impressions in one evening during high traffic days. And it had a single digit ACoS, you know, because it was bid appropriately, but it was available to run. And Amazon said, look, nobody else is competing for this space because they stumbled, they made mistakes, but here's your campaign ready to go. I'm going to show your ad all over the place. And it's just really profitable, really high traffic. Now, not every product is going to, depending on how competitive that niche is, you may never get to that third campaign. But if you have it set up for each of these 5 days, then at least you've got a chance of picking up kind of like that extra marketing traffic that you may have missed under just a normal campaign strategy.
So that is a really great strategy. for right now. It's timely and it can be implemented ASAP. Yep. What do you do with the price?
The price, I just keep it the same. You know, it's not like you're going to, it's not like Amazon's going to let you drop the price and then all of a sudden qualify you for some kind of a, you know, lightning deal or something like, you know, give a, you know, kind of a, you know, special deal or whatever. They're savvy to that, of people dropping, mm-hmm. you know, increasing the price and then dropping the price. You may want to put in, here's something that I certainly teach when it comes to product positioning, is look at what your competitors are doing on the search results for your top terms. If none of your competitors are using something like a 5% or a $1 off coupon, that means that, you know, it's pretty easy to tell on the page one search results is when nobody has that little green badge that catches every shopper's eye. That's the hint right there. You want to catch the shopper's eye. You're not doing it to increase conversion rates by adding in a 5% or a $1 coupon. You're creating this green box in the search results when all your competitors don't have it, and it catches the eyeball of the shopper who's just scrolling through listings, and it draws them into looking at your listing more closely. So it's more of an attention getter than it is really a tactic for increased conversion.
I was talking to somebody the other day and they were saying that their PPC campaigns weren't working, and that no matter what they do, and no matter what they do to increase the budget, nothing's converting. Well, I was able to take a look at the listing and I knew right away why nothing was converting. You can drive as much traffic as you want. You can drive a million impressions, but if that listing sucks,
yeah.
You know, if you don't have the right image, or if you don't have a good quality image, if you're taking your images with an iPhone.
Well, I mean, these days the iPhones and iPads have, you know, 4K photos.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Well, most people don't have the lens and they don't have the lighting. And they, I mean, if you go to a professional photographer, spend a couple of dollars or even on the title, right? And it's the title and the wording sucks. And, you know, it might be too long of a, it's not an engaging title, but there is a really big issue with people thinking, oh, I spent all this money on PPC. It didn't convert properly. And they blame either
the PPC, advertising.
The advertising agency, the whatever it is, you know, the automated or automatic app that they're using,
right.
But it doesn't work because of that. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. And what would be the first or second thing you would do to improve a listing to help with conversions?
Yeah, I mean, that is something I speak to quite a bit these days, as far as that's that product positioning in the conversion is. If you get somebody, you know, if you grab the first challenge, of course, is Amazon going to show your product listing, you know, organically ranked or the ad, right? That's the first challenge, which is more of a PPC and relevance challenge. The second thing, of course, is grabbing the attention of the shopper, stopping their eyeball from just scrolling down 100 listings that look a lot like yours. Third is getting them to suck, you know, basically suck them into the listing through something that's compelling in the first 80 characters of your title that is like a two-word benefit. Simply just going in and saying like, hey, you know what, here's this in a very succinct, which is kind of hard to do, but very succinct, here's a benefit of my product that the shopper may not have considered that nobody else is mentioning. Like if you're filling up your title, for instance, with this product is for men, women, teens, boys, girls, you know, just stuffing words in there, hoping you're going to get a shotgun out to the audience, then you're not talking to your audience. You're trying to
right.
talk to the algorithm, talk to the audience, tell them what a key benefit is in that first 80 characters that brings them into the listing to beg the curiosity. All right, tell me more about this benefit. That's when you lead with benefits. No longer all caps in the bullet points, of course. You lead with benefits and you support that with the product features. Don't lead
exactly.
with features and then say, oh, by the way, it'll help you do this. Always lead with what's in it for me. And if you're listening in the first 5 seconds, can't tell me what's in it for me if I own your product, I'm going to bounce.
Yep.
Confusion creeps in, doubt creeps in, distraction of all these other ads that are probably camped out on your listing are going to distract me as a shiny object. And I'm going to go elsewhere. If you didn't convince me in the first 5 seconds, that's what I call the 5 second test, is have friends and family look at your, you know, look at your listing who are not familiar with your product and show it to them for 5 seconds, take it away and say, what do you remember?
Right. Now, you said something, the all caps. So there's been all sorts of, I was going to say speculation, but it's happening. People now, there's listings that are getting suspended because of all caps in their bullets.
Yeah, we had one yesterday.
Did you? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was specifically where it wasn't like the listing was pulled from organic, from indexing. It's just we couldn't run ads on it until we corrected it.
And so did they tell you that it was all caps?
Basically, it said violation of the ad creative policies. And you go in, you look at the policies, and you talk to the reps, and they're like, oh, it's because you got the all caps and the bullet points.
Right.
The algorithm hunting for that right now. So you don't want that kicking in, because if there's any kind of delay, 24, 48-hour delay from when you make the change and when you can run ads, this is not the day where you want that to start, right? It's right before. And I can guarantee you is that this is when, you know, the black hat attacks and all that kind of stuff start. They're trying to eliminate the competition before the big selling days. Don't do it to yourself by being out of conformance with creative policy. If you got all caps in your bullet points, change it to first cap.
Right. Yeah. So important. I think we talked about that last week, but it came out and it was kind of speculation, but now, people are getting suppressed or suspended because of it. And during the holiday season, you don't want that happening. Ooh. Another good item that you brought up was check out the policies. Some people don't read anything. They just put up anything in their listing and they wonder why they're having problems.
Well, some of those kind of require some interpretation and common sense. They're not going to tell you that the word coronavirus is a banned term, for instance. Mm-hmm. But you can probably guess that anything that is making any kind of a claim, any kind of a medical claim, or is specifically dialing in on something that's extremely hot right now, they're probably going to block.
Right. Yeah. So I am really interested in defending your airspace. But before we get to that, there are a bunch of questions that came in. Kelsey, could you start reading?
Fire away. Off? Yeah, we got tons.
You're a popular guy, Brian.
Yeah, very popular.
A topic of confusion, I'm sure. So,
yeah. So for anyone interested in a free 30-minute PPC consultation, all you got to do is take two people and you'll be entered in for the contest. We have a special thing that we'll be doing at the end of the show. So stick around for that. Just take two people and you'll be entered into the contest. But first, let's see,
that's actually you and me getting live on a Zoom call and going through and talking specifically about your ads and what the opportunities are for you.
That really is incredible. If you can spend 30 minutes with Brian directly in your campaign, I've had him at my events, or Dave Kettner and I, Amazon and Beyond's events, and just incredible changes. Like people walk out of there with notepad full of, oh, Brian said this, Brian said that. And there's no price.
You may not like the answer I give you. Yeah. there is that risk that it's like, well, okay, you're screwing this up, but this is where your opportunity is that you're looking. But that's good to walk out with. It's like, okay, I need to change this and I need to, start doing this other thing. So, but yeah.
All right. Great. Yeah. So we have lots of people. We got Herb, Edward, Andrew, Yarrow, Yalchin, Leonard, Marsha. They're all joining in. All right. So first question. Let me see. I think Leonard was first. What do you do with keywords that are sitting on the top of page one and getting a lot of impressions, but not getting much clicks?
From an advertised standpoint, as far as like an ad, let's presume that we're talking about as far as like an ad, and it's showing up top of search, for instance, and it's showing your ad campaign and your listing, which is in your ad, as far as your main image and your title, your social proof and your price gives them no compelling reason to click through on your ad. Now, that's obviously probably not what you want to hear. What you want to hear is, it's an ad problem, it's not a product problem, but just like Norm and I just talked about, is most likely if you actually search on the search results for that term, is your product, does it fit in with the rest of the products? In other words, is it similar? In other words, is the shopper actually looking for this class of products, or is there a mix of a lot of different products? We especially see that if you're only targeting one or two word short tail phrases that could mean millions of different products, you're saying, well, I want to be on page one for this because it's high traffic. There are so many keyword research tools have convinced us that the high traffic terms are the way to go, and yet Amazon focuses on relevance, you know, so they want you to target a more specific audience than just broadcasting out to everybody and hope that you get something. It is more likely that there's something with your main image, your title. Again, kind of what I was mentioning earlier is if your title doesn't lead with something that is compelling for the shopper to gain their curiosity, such as a two-word benefit to them of owning your product, why should I look at your product when there's a whole line of other products that have a lot more reviews, maybe even a better price? You've got to have something in your title and your main image that compels them to go to your listing and then use your listing in order to actually convert them. But right now, you're just simply, if you're getting the ad impressions but not the clicks, it's most likely because the shoppers don't find relevance of the search that they just made for that particular term and your ad.
You know, one of the things I wanted to add to that. Oh, thank you. Coffee time.
Nice.
Hey, Connie, Brian's on.
Hey, Brian.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Connie.
There we go. Anyway, what I was saying is some of the times, well, first of all, I always like talking about the browsing keywords opposed to the buying keywords. And I use dog treat, dog chew, opposed to bully stick. And although it's bully stick, it's still a 200,000 search volume. So you'd waste your money there. So you break it down. We call it primary long tails when we're doing our keyword research. Yep. And then we'll take those primaries like odorless bully stick, grass-fed bully stick, natural bully stick, and then find the long tails that go into, we call them silos. So each of those primary long tail silos. And it works really well as long as there's relevance and your listing can convert. One of the other things I want to add, and this is on, I mean, you are the expert on this. I'm going to let you talk. But one of the things that I love doing is I love doing the Brady Bunch effect. And that's just surrounding your listing, basically, or sending off to focus groups and getting their impression on the title and the main image. That's the best thing you could possibly do. Yeah.
Yeah, and a focus group can be, this is one of those things where we'll actually set up like micro worker campaigns or, you know, an MTurk campaign. We'll get 100 people who will say, you know, look at this page one of results and which product catches your eye or which one seems like it has a higher quality. There's different questions you can ask and just kind of poll people who are not familiar with your product to get their kind of their gut reaction. It's a really good way of, especially when they say it's like, oh, well, these three products seem to be higher quality and more popular or caught my eye first. And you're like going, well, none of those are my product. Okay. Learn from that. You want to be different than most of your competitors, but at the same time, you also want to talk to your audience and address their needs and make sure that you're catching their eye and bringing them into the conversation with you.
Right.
All right. So next question we have Red. how do you estimate spending on PPC? Is there any software to estimate?
How do you estimate spending?
Yes.
Well, there's plenty of black hat software for that. no, so Amazon, of course, will show you suggested bid. You know, usually it's more of a case of trial and error. We have within the agency, we have our own in-house software tools for market research and that kind of stuff, competitive research. But the you know, as far as like the keyword research tools. I mean, there's things like keywordtool.io, which is a keyword research tool that will include things like estimated CPC. The problem is that CPC and suggested bid is there's a lot of misunderstandings as far as like what the suggested bid range is. And there's a couple of factors on that. One, it's going to vary by keyword match type. I've actually tested it to say, okay, same product, different accounts, would actually come up with the exact same bid range across different sellers, different campaigns of different age, same product. or a similar product would come up with the exact same bid range, but it varied based off of things like keyword, keyword match type, for instance, it will vary. Now, one of the things on that is Amazon's going to suggest, you know, they're going to say, hey, here's a suggested keyword bid, and they're going to show you the range, the high and the low. The what's weird about that, of course, the high and low is kind of chopped up into quartiles. In other words, it is, you've got, like, say, you know, they don't really show it to you there. They show it in some of their more advanced tools, but they, since what they're doing is saying on the low end, you've got a 25% chance of showing a page one ad. On, you know, the 50 percentile in the middle somewhere, you've got a 50% chance of, you know, showing a page one ad. You see that more things like DSP and, brand ads and that type of thing. But just on sponsored ads, they're just going to show you a range and they're going to give you a suggested bid right in the middle. If you have a suggested bid of a keyword that is much higher than what you've calculated as your break-even bid for your product, you know, if it's up there $3, $5, $10 as a suggested bid, probably not one you want to go after. You need to go a little bit more descriptive, you know, add on more words, more focus in your audience in order to bring the average CPC down. Now, there are ways to set up kind of like mock campaigns with somebody else's product in order to kind of see what those suggested bids are. But ultimately, as soon as you create the campaign, if you add in keywords, Amazon's going to tell you what the suggested bid is. You don't have to start the campaign just to see what the suggested bids are. So that's probably the fastest way to do it within Ad Console, rather than relying on third-party data of any kind, having any kind of accuracy for your particular niche and situation.
I got stumped on this question the other day, and I was waiting for you to come on. Somebody in the group had asked, is there a way to find out the best converting keywords for orders? So I know, like, on seller.tools, you can go in and punch in and you can see, this keyword will give you X number of estimated orders. Is there a manual way to try to figure that out?
Sure. There's clues. So you can, if you've got access to brand analytics, you can do the search term analysis in brand analytics. If it happens to be a top 1 or 1.5 million search term, it'll tell you not necessarily how many conversions of that particular term gets, but whether it converts. In other words, it's going to show you, here's the top three by click share that these products are getting. And if they also have a conversion share, well, obviously they converted on that term also. That's kind of a clue. So that's one clue, is if it shows up in brand analytics and one of those top three actually has more than 0% conversion rate, that tells you it probably converts for somebody. Now, how much it converts, that's not going to tell you.
Right.
Other clues are things like, if somebody has an Amazon Choice badge, you have to have a conversion in order to have an Amazon Choice badge on a keyword. If you're using something like, you know, there's multiple keyword research tools that will show, like, oh, this has, you know, a Choice badge, or you can just look it up in your own, you know, niche. An Amazon Choice badge is another clue that this one actually converts. Just having a phrase in a title or just some keyword research tool or search engine saying this gets 50,000 searches in a month does not mean that it converts.
Right.
Right. You know, one of the things you can certainly, you know, you could have a page one, position number one, organic ranking for your product for a key term and nobody ever click through on it or convert on it. You probably have hundreds of those right now for your product and you don't even know because they don't convert. Mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, those are a couple of probably the easiest clues to look at, is the brand analytics and the Amazon Choice badges. Those are usually, bestseller, of course, would obviously be another badge.
Very good.
Of course, the bestseller is more on the product, not an individual term. So
right.
Back to brand analytics and Amazon Choice when at the keyword level.
Okay, that's great. I learned something there. Thank you, sir.
All right. Next question is from Yaro. Cool strategy with the waterfall campaigns. What do you do later with them? Delete, or they will just live?
Yeah, just pause them afterwards. Yeah. I mean, it's okay. So I have a whole other strategy called gold panning, which is basically where you're essentially just taking a low bid campaign across all the ad types and it runs year round. That's just one of those things where you don't use it to launch or to rank or anything like that. You simply just collect, you know, low A cost sales periodically from each of these different ad types. You know, I literally put it in sponsor product, automatic campaign, keyword campaign, product targeting campaign, and I do it across brand ads and display ads, all with low bid campaigns, and I just let those run all year long. So an example with the waterfall campaigns is I probably turn off the first or second one, but the third one, I might just let it, bake and just sit there all year round because it's a low bid. It's not gonna break any records, but every once in a while I'll pick up a sale and you look down, it's like, well, it's got a 4% ACoS. It's like, all right, I'm happy with that. Now you'll be tempted to continue to drive up the bid, but be careful, because otherwise you go away from the original intent.
So that, I think that was another question that came in too, originally in the group, Kels. People worrying about duplicating. So they go in either on an exact match or whatever, exact match, broad match. They might be running an automated campaign, but worrying about duplicating and Amazon taking the highest keyword. And I know we've talked about this, but you're not competing against yourself. You don't have to worry about that. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, I mean, by competing, you're not raising your own bid by having your keyword in 100 different campaigns, right?
Right.
It's more or different match types or anything like that. It's more of a case of Amazon will pick two or three that it thinks the most relevant and will show the ads for that. And you can certainly influence as far as whether or not Amazon chooses to use a specific keyword and a specific match type based off of how high you have bid. Now, if the only real challenge of having duplicates like that is if you optimize for one product in one campaign and you drop the bid down because it was too expensive, Amazon's going to look for the next one. And so if you didn't also do it over there, then you may end up chasing around. And that's one of the reasons why things like search term isolation and those kind of concepts were invented primarily out of laziness, because not willing to actually do all the work and actually maintain focus, which is a little bit more difficult to do, but also because not because it really provides any more benefit to the algorithm, more it's easier to manage, which is fine also, because frankly, a lot of us don't have time to be spending a huge amount of time working on the ads, right? That's why things like the automated software and that kind of stuff that is on the market is popular, regardless if it's actually successful or not. Duplicates, the way that I do handle this, I do have a specific recommendation on this, is I'm a big fan of the 80-20, the Pareto. And periodically, maybe once a month, once a quarter, I'll go through and I'll look to see, can I narrow, I'll be running, a keyword for a product and I'll have an exact phrase in broad match. And I'm testing to see which of those three or two of those three is performing. And then periodically what I'll do is I'll go through and do some cleanup. And I'll say, okay, I've got three of these, the same keyword running in three different match types. Two of them are performing to my standard, to what I expect it to be able to perform at. But this third one, maybe the exact match is too competitive or it's just failing to convert well enough. And so I'll eliminate that one match type, but then keep the other two running. So that's just more of a kind of a cleanup. So you're focusing your ads on what's producing the most amount of results that you're looking for. In most of our case, I know certainly our agency, we focus first on profitability, then on scale and, launches and that kind of stuff.
Right. Now I know I've seen tons of questions come in, so I want to get to that. I also want to get to defend your airspace. So I know it's going to run late, but my suggestion is, Kels, why don't we do one giveaway right now? And then we'll save the last one to the end.
Okay. So how do you want to do this exactly? Do you want to do the question and then have the taking people? Yeah, we'll do that. Okay. So
it's all up to you, my son.
All right. So I believe we actually have two giveaways. So the first one is the PPC consultation. And the second one, Brian, do you remember?
Which is going to be towards the end. The one is going to be now, and then there's one at the end. Yeah.
So this would be the PPC consultation.
Right.
Okay. Yep. So for the PPC consultation, everyone that's entered your two tags, I'm going to share my screen.
Just a second. The other one will be teaching about yoga poses.
Uh-huh. And they can enter still, right? We still got...
Yeah, so for the second contest, we'll do...
Okay, second contest. All right.
So those are some good odds for those who entered.
Yeah.
Man.
So we got, what is it, 5 people? All right. So this is so far everyone that's entered. Yeah, we'll see. So this is the first time I'm doing this. So let's see. So the winner for this. It's so exciting.
And Norman Kelsey, what I'll do is I'll provide you a booking link from my Calendly so that they can just make it easy for them to book time with me.
Oh, Marcia.
Marcia, congratulations.
Yeah. Marcia. Okay, so Marcia.
Careful what you wish for.
So for those who haven't won, here, I'll take off. So Marcia is the winner for the first one, and we'll just keep doing it till the end of the one. So we have a second consultation. So I'll keep everyone's name still in there. So if you want to enter still, you still have time. There's a second consultation. Just add your 2 tags in the comments.
Yeah. So all you have to do is just tag 2 people that are in this conversation and you'll be entered to win.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go to the questions again. And all congratulations, right. Marcia. It's a great prize.
Okay. So another question. So I'm going to try and do different people because some people did multiple. And if we have time, we'll get back to those people. So we had a couple of questions about the cap words. So Edward, we should change the cap words from the title also.
I haven't seen any issues with the title, actually. You would think that actually would be one of the biggest things that Amazon would go after. It would not surprise me if they start including that as far as the filter. Right now, the biggest one that we're seeing that's being taken action on is the all caps in the features in the bullet points.
Okay, great. And to follow up on that, we have...
And while you're in there changing them from all caps to first caps, make sure that you are updating them to lead with the benefit.
True. Yep.
If you're already in there, might as well, do some optimization while you're there.
Yeah.
Okay. Herb, can you clarify the comment on caps in our bullet points? He says, I have smooth mechanics in all caps. Is there something satisfying by a smooth, perfectly functioning, etc.? So would that be okay?
Smooth mechanics in all caps will get you suspended.
Okay.
Yep. Saw it yesterday.
All right. From Dr. Cause. I am seeing my auto campaigns are killing it. What is your general opinion on dumb auto campaigns?
On dumb auto campaigns?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. So a kind of a common myth is that people use automatic campaigns for keyword research. Keyword research tools are way better than what automatic campaigns are going to do. So I do any kind of a search term that converts within an automatic campaign, I will copy it over and start testing it over in broad phrase exact in my manual campaigns. And then later on, if it actually kicks in on the manual campaigns, then I'll go back and negative match it on the automatic campaigns. If you have an ASIN that converts, that's when I start seeing if I do a product targeting ad, which we'll talk more about here, but if I do a product targeting ad, then see if I can get a convert through a manual product targeting campaign. Otherwise, I do keep automatic campaigns running all the time.
I like with the new automatic campaigns, just taking out the ASINs in the report and putting them into negative ASINs.
Right.
Yeah. And at least from what I've seen, all of a sudden your conversions will go up much higher on an automatic campaign. Have you checked that out?
Well, there's a couple things on that. So you've got things where I go back and I'll tune those. Certainly any automatic campaign. One of the things that people should be aware of is that if you have an automatic campaign that was started before November 2018, it does not include the auto targeting group features, which is actually something great to have. Now, I would suggest, now some of you may be saying, it's like, oh, this thing makes $10,000 a month at 5% ACoS. Why should I update it? Well, don't. if it's not broken, don't fix it, right? But at the same time, is that if you do want to take advantage of the newer in the last 2 years, right? Auto targeting groups where you can tune it based off of some of the audience settings. Those would be things like the close match, loose match, complement, and substitute. Then that'll give you a little bit more tuning. It's kind of like tuning, a keyword match type, for instance, or a placement where you can see the data and you can see where one is outperforming the others. And you can put the ad spend and focus it on the one that's performing the best. You can do that in the automatic campaign. So that is a common optimization step that I'll do in there, is I'll tune not just the negative matches or copying terms out of automatic campaigns that are converting, but I'm also going in and analyzing those auto targeting groups and then keep the ones that are running that are actually giving you the highest conversion rates.
Very good.
Okay, from Leah. Hi guys, Brian mentioned a focus group to get feedback on product detail page content. Is there a focus group you would recommend?
Not on pro. I haven't created one for that specifically. I know that I do workshops every couple of weeks, and that's been part of my content recently. I've posted some of those videos up onto my YouTube channel. The Facebook group that I have is the Amazon PPC troubleshooting group. So I will kind of commingle my PPC training and recommendations there, along with what I've gotten talked about quite a bit more this year, is of course product positioning, differentiation, conversion rate optimization. So I do talk a lot more about that in that Amazon PPC troubleshooting group.
There are a couple that I would recommend if you're checking out your listings. One would be PickFu, and they allow eight options. So if you have eight different competitors or seven and your listing, you can put it in there. The other one, it's not as robust. And again, these are just split testing apps. The other one's Usability Hub. Those are the two that I use for quick answers.
Yeah, and we actually just had John Lee from PickFu.
John was just on, yeah.
So if you, Leah, if you want to check out that episode, it's all about split testing and how to go about it. So we had him on, I think, last week. So
yeah, it was just
that'd
last
be
week.
A great
yeah.
Check out. Okay, next one. Let's see. Viral. So if there's keyword that has no conversions in brand analytics for all three clicks, that means no one is buying.
Or it's bad data from Amazon. That also happens.
No.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that, like, what's in Seller Central or Ad Console, that data is not going to match up with the advertising reports, and that advertising reports are not going to match up to the data that is fed to third-party solutions. Those are three different systems. They're approximately similar, but they're not going to match up. So if anybody's ever yelling at some third party provider like mine, now you know why.
So stop yelling.
All right. And looks like people are loving the wheel.
Oh, good.
So again, we still have time. Tag two people and you'll be entered into the contest.
Happens if they don't know how to tag? How do you tag somebody?
Yes, we had a question come up before. How do you tag? Just hit the at symbol and then two Amazon sellers. Ooh, I think our fire alarms are going off at our house. But yeah, sorry if you can hear that. But yeah, so just at sign and then two people and you'll be good to go.
Very good.
All right. Our next question is from Yalchin. We are selling three products. Price is about $200. CPC is crazy, around $10 per click. Do you know how to decrease it? Thanks.
Yes. Oh, you want the answer too. Okay. Yes, of course I do. So the challenge you've got is that, if what I'm understanding correctly, is that you have your product price is above normal for the marketplace. In other words, it's at $200, okay? You've got three products. The CPC is crazy around $10, which means you've got competitors who are willing to pay more because there's a higher value. Maybe there's some kind of long-term value of the customer because maybe there's other products that they can sell them later on. Usually those kind of $10, if you're getting $10 bids, that's when you need to zag when your competitors are zigging, right? So what that basically means is try to observe where your highest costs are. Here's an example. In your advertising is, you've got keywords that are very expensive, highly competitive, maybe too competitive. Then certainly, one option is to look at other related terms that maybe are more long tail, more descriptive, that are have a smaller search, have a smaller, more closely tight, a tighter audience, and maybe less competitive. That's one option. Two is if you think that if you're seeing where your competitors are running ads, primarily just sponsored product ads, for instance, maybe they're not running display ads or brand ads, then maybe try other ad types that they're not currently using. I can tell you right now, because I see it every single day, is most brands on Amazon are only using about 15 to 20% of the ad types, the ad space that's available on Amazon. What that means is you've got an 80, 85% chance of beating your competition and being more visible by doing something they're not doing. Third is if, like we've seen a lot this year where so many people have heard, you know, the idea of like, oh, you want to be sure that you're advertising, you know, most aggressively on exact match and then secondarily phrase match. And then people are forgetting about broad match. And then what ends up happening is if all your competition, and you can't really see this from the outside, but you can test it with your ads. If all of your competition is you went by testing all three ad types, if all your competition is most aggressive and has the highest CPC on a specific keyword match type, try a different keyword match type. You may find that they're simply not doing any ads in a broad match type, for instance, and all of a sudden you're getting a 40-cent click when they're paying 10 bucks for exact match. It does happen. I do see it on a regular basis. So it's about, it's gotten so competitive that you really need to look for opportunities where your product stands out to the crowd and is not like your competition. You're selling the same kind of product, but you're doing things visually in your image and your title and the way that you advertise and the places that you advertise different than what your competitors are. So it's the whole take the road less traveled.
Brian Johnson's top three mistakes Amazon sellers make.
Right. That was the question?
Yeah, that is the question. I didn't phrase it as a question. It's a comment.
That's been our entire discussion here.
Yeah. What are the top three things that you think would be the biggest mistakes?
First and foremost, trying to talk to the algorithm in their title and not talking to the shopper. They really think that Amazon needs their help from an algorithm standpoint by stuffing a bunch of words into their title to talk to the search algorithm, talk to the shopper. It's probably the biggest mistake. Amazon hasn't needed your help for the last 2 years. Mm. So, your title should definitely be speaking to the needs of the shopper and ideally putting in some kind of a benefit statement. That'd be actually my second mistake that I see the most. And that is talking of features and specifications rather than what's in it for me as a shopper if I own your product, and do it succinctly in the first 80 characters of the title. You can have your main search phrase in your title. You can have your brand name in the title, but make sure you leave enough room for a couple of words that shows something that is a unique, compelling benefit to them that begs them the curiosity to click through to your listing.
Have you noticed, and I know there's one left, but but have you noticed that short titles with search phrase, benefit, just probably your brand name, but are converting better than longer 200 characters, 249 characters?
I see the ones that have a benefit statement mm-hmm. converting better, but not because of the length of the title. Mm-hmm. It's because somebody's focused in on their target audience properly. Now you have ones that are just kind of generic. It's like, oh, this is the Lego Titanic kit, you know, and that's the only thing in the title. Well, that's just because that's some manufacturer who's just lazy and they just bulk uploaded things. But if you're really serious about understanding your shopper, you're doing things like, I know that you're taking your business serious and your audience serious because you're actually in there reading the reviews of competitor products that are selling the same thing you are and really understanding what are the pain points, what do they like, what do they don't like, and then also translating that into what's your messaging in your title, in your first bullet point, in your video, in your listing, which is the third one, is not supporting what your compelling benefit or differentiator is of your product in the very top 5 seconds of your product listing. That'd be the third mistake, is not getting in there and saying, here's what's in it for you by owning my product. They come in and it's like, well, this has got, these features and these ingredients, and don't care. Don't care about your brand. Don't care about your product. Tell me what's in it for me.
Okay. Kelsey.
Okay. So we've got two questions from the Facebook group. that asked yesterday. So I think we should get to them. And then everyone else, I think, has asked at least one question. So anyone who still has questions, they can always post in the Facebook group. And we can clarify, or people from the group can help clarify and give their insights too. So from Mark, I'm curious about ad placements. Is it worth it to do the top of search? Is there any benefit to doing a lower bid but using higher top of search percentage? I can say it again if you need it.
No, I got it. No, I'm just trying to think. It's like, you know, if Norm was going to jump in with your own opinion on that one too. But so top of search is one of those things that's been abused a little bit as far as rumor mill and myth. We do use top of search placement, but primarily we use it to an extent of, we typically would never go over more than 50%. We're certainly not doing 200%, 900%. It goes counter to how the ad auction actually works. Now, there are remote cases where it works phenomenally well, but usually that's in low competition areas where you don't have any resistance and you can get away with running a 900% campaign. It's like, oh, it worked for me. It's like, yeah, but what's your sales? You know, it's like, well, I got $500 in sales this month. It's like, yeah, okay. You've got no competition. there's certainly are instances where it does work. But in general, the way that the ad auction works is it goes through a sequence of determining which advertisers have an ad that is qualified to run. So it's kind of an on-off test of whether or not you're eligible to run. Two, then they'll say, it's like, is your ad and your product relevant to what this customer is searching for? And that's subjective based off of Amazon's opinion. So that's the second filter. And each time they're shrinking the number of ads that are selected down to a smaller and smaller number until they actually sequence it and say, okay, here's the first one, here's the second one, here's the third one. Then what they'll do is they'll adjust based off of kind of a trust factor, right? This is one of those things where Amazon scores campaigns to determine, once they've already gone through the filtering of qualification and relevance, then they will score the campaign. And typically a brand new campaign in its first couple of weeks has very low trust. And so the score is low. In well-established campaigns that have high click-through rates, who have a click and a conversion history, has a higher score. Now, how they use that score is, and then they carry this over and they say, okay, I'm going to adjust your starting bid, assuming you went with a campaign bidding strategy of down only, for instance, and I don't trust your campaign, so I'm going to reduce your bid from your $2 starting bid down to 30 cents. Now, if the minimum bid that you needed in order for your ad to show up happens to be 50 cents based off of the other competitors who did qualify, you just got eliminated. You didn't even make it to the start of the race. Okay. Usually you see that because you got a campaign that has zero or very few impressions. That's because you're getting your bid depressed right up ahead of time before you even make it to the race. But then the argument is like, oh, but I have a 900% placement. My bid should go back up. Nope, you're already eliminated. That placement doesn't even kick in until after you're in that final set of racers who are actually running their ads. And if your bid just got depressed down to below qualification, that 900% or 50% or anything like that makes no difference whatsoever. You're already disqualified. So one of the things that we do on that is we come in with a more aggressive bid. Certainly on a brand new campaign, we start out with a fixed bidding strategy the first couple of weeks to simply prevent Amazon from depressing our bid down from $2 down to 30 cents. Now, can that be a little bit more expensive? Yeah, but our ads run, which is what we want. We want our ads run so we can get some data back so that we can then fine tune the bids. Then if we are actually starting to build up and see some success after the first couple of weeks, after we get past that initial distrust of our new campaign, then we'll start playing around with, okay, looking at the data inside of placement, it looks to me like we're getting a higher conversion rate on top of search. Let's go ahead and start amplifying top of search to try to own that more often. Sometimes that works and sometimes everybody's doing the same thing and then it gets competitive and too expensive. But we put it in as a secondary, not as a primary. even if we put in, you know, even if we launch a brand new campaign with a 50% top of search increase, if we don't do something like a fixed bid, then our ad may not show. If we do something like a dynamic up and down, it'll still depress the bid, you know, down if they don't trust you. But if you use a fixed bid, yeah, it may be more expensive because then you're coming in with the bid that you set and then they're adding on another 50 cents, but at least you're getting traffic and clicks and you're getting some data back to start making some decisions about optimization.
Awesome. So I know there's another question, but, you have, I mean, we've already gone an hour and, we can definitely, I know you said you don't have, you know, you just said you were a little bit open. You scheduled some time for us, but this is crazy. Yeah. You're giving us so much information. What do we got? Another 15 minutes or so?
Well, I would say, I mean, I would probably cap it at a half an hour if we can do that.
Okay. Wow. All right, guys. So stay tuned. If you like what you're hearing, like I'm sitting here just listening and learning as well. So Brian always surprises me with some of the things he says. Well, the
other thing you can do too, Norm.
Yeah.
This is your show. If you want to just field, you know, if you get a constant set of questions coming in, we can just do Q&A and then we can come back for a future one and talk about defending airspace.
That would be awesome.
You know, because the primary concept, you know, maybe that's something where you know, the listeners vote here is, you know, the primary concept of defending airspace is running product targeting ads to cross market your products on your own product listings so that your competitors are not occupying that space and distracting your shopper. And I can guarantee you that most brands on Amazon are leaving that door wide open for competition to do exactly that. But that was the topic. But you know what, if the Q&A is more actionable today,
yeah. Let's continue with the Q&A because there's lots of questions and we still have one from the group. And then that would be perfect. You know what? I am going to talk to you later. I'll put you on the spot right now about becoming a permanent guest, but you know, that's, I'm just putting it out there. Everybody listening, you know, if we never see Brian again, we know what the question or the answer was, but all right, next question.
Okay. So the other one from the group, I'm not sure if this was the one that you mentioned that, you'd asked already, so we'll go through it, but it's from mm-hmm. Suzanne. If you have a seasonal product and therefore maybe only a short-term product, should you run your lunch campaign differently? And if so, how?
If you have a seasonal product, how do you do a launch campaign?
Yeah.
So a launch campaign on a seasonal product, you know, certainly you're going to want to do a little bit of warm-up and some campaign and keyword testing in advance of whatever that season is. You know, if it is a, you know, it's a holiday gift or if it's a, you know, seasonal can be, you know, there's a lot of different seasons, right? And a lot of different, you know, events throughout the year. It kind of depends also on how, I probably wouldn't launch a seasonal product if it's off season. I would probably launch it within a month of that season. I would probably launch it just so you can kind of get some history, especially what I was just mentioning in there is getting Amazon to start trusting your ads. Your conversion rates are typically going to be lower. Expect that until your season actually kicks in, then it'll start increasing. But if you can make your advertising and the numbers work in general, where you're getting about break even in your ads, and then the season kicks in and your conversion rates increase, then you're profiting from there on out, right? But it is a great way of, you know, start in advance of the season so you can start, even if you've got some traffic and some conversions pre-season, then you can start doing some fine-tuning not only your ads, but as Norm and I have talked about repeatedly today, and that is fine-tuning as far as how you are addressing, how you're talking to your audience and how you are optimizing your product listing to speak to the benefits of your product, therefore theoretically increasing the conversion rate of your product.
Awesome. Hey, we've got so many people on the call right now. Just again, and these are just the people that I can see, and I've got really bad eyesight, but you know, Edward and Rad and Darwin, Leah, Yarrow, people that I can't see in our Facebook group, which sucks.
But Drew and Sarah.
Oh, okay. And Mark and JP. Hey, thanks everybody. And if I missed your name, just because I can't scroll up enough. Kelsey's got to do all that for me. But, anyways,
let's tag that you put in there. The I want Brian.
yeah, that's the other one. So if you can't tag two people, just put in hashtag I want Brian. There and we share go. The
post. Some of us don't know, you know, don't even know two people. You know, so
I'm like that. I know Kelsey.
Yeah. So if you can't tag anyone, share the post and write hashtag I want Brian. And you'll be entered into the post, the contest.
Okay, next question.
All right, this is from Andrew. This is a little different PPC question. Good evening, Norm. Hello, Brian. Off topic. Dear Brian, should a young entrepreneur go into PPC agency business? Is that a fat niche that will kind of support a new company? Attempting to figure out the thing that I could pick up as a specialization. Have difficulty understanding the pain of the seller when they run the PPC. Thank you guys so much for everything you do.
You know what? I mean, if agency is one of those things where you've got to have a lot of tolerance and patience because you're going to get a wide variety of clientele. The biggest thing as an agency owner or operator is you've got to have your processes down solid. Mm-hmm. So they're consistent. So you can produce consistent efforts. Now, one of the things that I kind of fought with my own team, but eventually was kind of drilled in as far as what works is in my head, I can come up with 500 different ad strategies and tactics and all that kind of stuff that we can implement for different situations. But really we may only within the agency, we may only have 30 of those that are reliable and predictable and are going to guarantee results for our clients. And so 90% of our time is spent on what is the most reliable, not what is experimental. I lead the research and development team within my agency, and we speculate all over the place and we test things, and sometimes it's a hit and sometimes it's a miss. There's a lot of things that I know we can do within the agency for our clients, but really knowing, testing, you know, making sure that you've got very systematic processes that can reliably produce the same results across a wide variety of situations, that's going to be your biggest challenge, is that kind of consistency and timing so that you can produce consistent results. In general, I'm not going to lie, agency life is, you know, in this space, it can be lucrative if you get that consistency. But I can guarantee you two things. One is there's going to be nights where you don't sleep and you're up all, you know, the entire weekend, you know, trying
to lose your hair
challenges. Yep, exactly. I had a full head of hair. Yeah. And you're going to make a lot of mistakes in your first 6 months to a year. It's just, there's no way around it. If you're learning the practice, there's art and science involved in this. You know, if you can go and you can work for another agency, then, you know, that is one, you know, one way to kind of learn the ropes and really kind of get the skill and understand, learn the process. That would be one tactic that I would probably do. If I'm green at all in PPC, I would definitely get under somebody's wing and actually go work, you know, work for an agency, try to get your foot in the door and just kind of learn the basics rather than trying to go out there and make promises that you're not able to keep. That's the kind of the tough hook about agency is they're paying you big fees in order to take the stress off of them. And if you're creating more stress in the process, then you've done exactly the opposite of what they need.
Yeah. One other thing I could add to that, you have to know your demographic. Who is it? You know, create a persona and then tackle that. And, you know, one of the things that you have is a business model. And you don't sway from the business model, I don't think, but you've created a business model that sticks. And where I see people, agencies run into trouble, first of all, if they have a demographic that they're not going after and they ask, it might be because you're targeting higher end, like $1 million plus, and now all of a sudden you're bringing in a bunch of smaller accounts or vice versa. You stick with what you know best. The other thing is just trying to do everything for everybody, like be everything for everybody. And that just can't be.
Yeah. You have to have, let's put it this way. So I've got a team of 54 and we've got multiple departments to provide the different services, but that we didn't start out that way. you know, that's only been in the last year that we've actually developed some of the additional offerings because our clients demanded it, they needed it. And so we developed in-house expertise, you know, 6 months to a year before we even offered it to our own clients. So it was one of those things where that kind of consistency, yeah, obviously, you know, Norm, we're not even talking about the whole, like, how do you even market yourself and how do you get credibility, you know, social proof for your results. It is more of a case of don't think that you can simply just start taking on, you know, clients and then just run it through some piece of automated software that's going to do the work for you, because the automated software is only going to do about 20% of what you probably need to have done. That's kind of one of the faults of that. It'll automate it. It'll be really fast, but it'll only do a fraction of what you actually need done. So I certainly appreciate the entrepreneur side of that. And I definitely don't want to discourage you from going after it. Just understand is that know your personality type. If you're not the person who's going to create the documentation and the processes and follow that like a checklist on a regular basis for consistent and timely results, then you need to get somebody in there with you that can produce that and can maintain that kind of structure.
Yep. Great answer.
Okay. From Leonard, why do you use automatic campaigns? Is it not better just to use exact match campaigns and then you know exactly what keywords you're targeting and when to make adjustments to them?
Yeah, it's a common misconception is to go after just exact match. I will gladly compete against anybody who follows that rule because I will crush them. And I don't mean that to be mean or anything like that. It's more of a case of that is a common misconception that's being taught a lot, is to focus only on exact match because especially like the software, like the automated software, they want you to do exact match because it's easier for the software. I use automatic campaigns, primarily the low bid side of the house. I don't use the automatic campaigns for keyword research. I do it in order to allow Amazon to put my product in front of other audiences that I might not have considered. I keep it, it'll show up in different ad placements that manual campaigns don't actually reach. And so I use it more of a supplement as opposed to a core. It's easy to set up. Amazon is the one making the decision. You can optimize it just like you would any other campaign. I do, of course, use different types of exact match keyword campaigns. I do use phrase match campaign quite a bit because it gets the most traffic of everything else and it converts quite well. And then I also use broad match in competitive situations because everybody else is so focused on spending their money on exact match that I can get twice the profit out of doing broad match in the same niche. So yeah, I would say that the focusing in on a very narrow strategy like that creates simplicity and precision, but it doesn't usually result in growth, sales growth, for instance.
I've heard that so much that, it's gone back a couple of years, but I only do exact match. It's just, I don't agree. I'm along your like. I
but if you're concerned, your focus may not be on the advertising. You're like going, look, I want to spend as little brain cells on the advertising. Yeah, go with exact match and do nothing else, and just optimize on that, or even use software to do it for you. If it's as simple as a keyword campaign, right? You know, obviously, I'm a big fan of the two big ad types that are working phenomenally well for our agency. Well, I should say three ad types. DSP is probably the biggest one that we manage that just kills it. 20, 30, 40% growth for larger brands. But the ones for most brands would be sponsored, product ads. Ideally, say sponsored display, product targeting ads, and then also sponsored brand video ads also convert very well.
How are you finding those? Are they converting better than the other?
Well, they're converting better primarily because they're seeing more and there's less competition that I'm competing for. So they're usually more profitable. The brand video ads convert very well. Even ones that have ugly videos are better than, you know, especially if you're in a niche where nobody else is doing the video, then you stand out and you get a whole lot of traffic and those actually work. Now, there are better ways of doing, like each listing, you can have three videos on there. Most people think, oh, I can do one. They don't even have the one, which I think is a fourth mistake that I would propose. but you can use the video in order to, you know, walk through as far as, again, lead with the benefits of your product to that shopper. Second one would be something along the lines of, what is the value of your company? You know, how much care do you put into the manufacturing process? What are your, you know, kind of get to know the company and the brand behind the product. And then third would be, if there's any kind of a setup or a configuration of your product or use or whatever that might create any kind of confusion or doubt to a shopper, a video walking through how simple it is for somebody to set up in minutes is a, in within like say 2 minutes, is a great way to kind of remove that doubt and confusion from a potential buyer.
Nice. Now going back to DSP for a second, most people think it's $30,000 to start. When you go to an agency like yours, because you're a partner, you have different price breaks for that?
Absolutely, yeah. We don't really have, I mean, technically our minimums I think are something like $5,000 a month in monthly ad spend.
Yeah, so that's typical.
It's appropriate if a brand is currently selling, you know, maybe $30,000 a month or higher. DSP works pretty well. There's also certain product niches that work better in DSP advertising as far as remarketing ads off of Amazon than other like subscribe and save kind of products. Consumable products that have recurring sales work fantastic on DSP. There's other you know, products that have limitations. You know, if you're in PPE, you know, selling, you know, masks or hand sanitizer and that kind of stuff, you're probably not going to be able to run ads on those, mainly because of the policies of the other sites don't allow certain content. What Amazon calls their over-the-shoulder restrictions of, we can't show this product because some child might be looking over your shoulder when you're surfing and it comes up and they'll be offended or something. and so there's some restrictions there, but in general, the biggest advantage of DSP is it's got a lot more control and flexibility as far as the off Amazon advertising compared to what's available within Ad Console as far as the sponsored display audience view type of targeting and audience product targeting, a lot better profitability and growth. But, you know, like you said, is like, I wouldn't spend the $30,000 per month by having Amazon manage it, because Amazon, their primary focus is kind of like selling billboards. They're going to sell you on the views and they're going to celebrate the success of, look, you spent $30,000 and you got 50 million views. And then you say like, but how much do I profit? And they're like, it doesn't matter. You got all these views. And the reality is that any agency owner knows perfectly well is if you're not focused on profitability, you're not in business.
And the other thing that I love, and this came out, I think 2 years ago, but nobody's talking about hashed audiences.
Yeah.
So you can upload 20,000 or more hashtags. So if you want to, and we talked about this just before the call,
right?
Having a targeted list that you can upload, and Amazon through DSP will help you target these people, like a specific list. So, I mean, how cool is that if you can target your specific demographic? That's out of DSP. Most people, probably the high percentage. The reason I wanted to bring it up is it doesn't have to be $30,000. You can go to an agency like Brian's and most likely it'll be a lot less. And I'm not trying to give, you know, Canopy Management a plug.
My pitch right there.
So there we go. Yeah, but no, it is, if you're in that range and you are selling, it is something to take a look at.
Yeah.
Okay, Kelsey. Time for a couple more questions.
Yeah, I think Kelsey just kind of comes in, does these cameos. Like, okay.
He does, yeah.
Where did you go? It's like, oh, I want you to go get a beer. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's in this cup? All right, so we'll do one more question because we're just at the 30-minute mark. So, Dawin, I hate PPC. I do the very basic level of it. I rely on an extremely strong product to make up for the lack of skills on PPC. Awesome. Eventually, we'll need outside help. Tips on how to vet an agency or expert.
Sure. So there's going to be, first of all, absolutely commend you as far as like putting your focus on extremely strong product to make up for the lack of anything else, right? Your product, if you've got a bad product, PPC is not going to fix it, right? It's only going to amplify it. from a PPC standpoint is there's software solutions, there's agencies, there are individual consultants, there's software agency hybrid. One of the things that we just recently introduced actually for because our agency normally handles the more established brands, and we help them kind of level up. Well, we do help them level up to higher sales. But we also just recently introduced the fact that we have a hybrid with my own software, PPC Scope, because of the new features that rolled out recently. We can support basically doing a hybrid between our agency team working through the software to basically manage somebody's at a much lower sale. So those kind of opportunities do exist with some of the software providers. It's just making sure that particular agency or consultant actually has the knowledge that they claim, because, you know, unfortunately, I mean, because I'm in this space, I see this all the time. I see somebody who has been in the space for 3 months and they're saying, I'm an Amazon PPC expert, because they worked for somebody else for 2 months. And of course it is, they just don't know what they don't know. Unfortunately, if they're spending your money, then they don't really care. They don't have the penalty if they do it wrong. And I'm like going, well, you know, some excuse came up. Ultimately you got to have some accountability there. So there's going to be a wide range of skill levels. There's going to be a wide range of an agency that's either going to be, you know, you've got a big difference between, like, say, a one-man shop versus a team working for you. For instance, a one-man shop, if it's a single consultant, they may be inexpensive. You know, you're like going, oh, I can get them for, you know, $200 or $1,000 a month or something like that. It's inexpensive, but anytime they get overwhelmed with too many clients, or they get busy with their own product line or their day job or the vacation, whatever, you're the one who takes the hit on that, right? If they don't know something, they may not have the support team in order to research it and to bounce back off. If they don't have, if they only had a handful of clients that they're working for, then their view of the world is basically what has happened in those few. The nice thing about agencies, but part of the reason why they're more expensive, like mine, you know, frankly, is we work with, you know, over 100 clients. We call them partners because we align with them, but we have the visibility of over 100 different product, you know, lines that we work with. We have very deep relationships within Amazon. So that if something goes wrong with a product listing or suspension or anything that goes weird, we can actually contact heads of departments rather than going through seller support. We also have, you know, like certainly, like I mentioned earlier, is that we have our own research and development team within the agency, where we're constantly looking at what's the latest, what's the newest. Amazon is always coming to us and saying, hey, in 3 months, we're going to be rolling out this new ad type. Can we get your feedback on it? We're already developing strategies before people even know it exists. Those are some of the advantages, but there's a cost that goes along with that. So I would say that for an agency that is strong, you're probably looking at anywhere from 10 to 20% fees of what your ad sales are. You know, that's just kind of estimate, you know, to kind of ballpark as far as estimating where you might be. Say 10 to 20% is a typical range in this industry. And it might be a case where there might be setup fees, there might be monthly fixed fees, there might be percentages, you know, smaller percentages too. So each agency is going to handle a little bit different, but ultimately you've got to go in. A common question I get is, well, how much do I need to be selling before I consider like a full agency like that? I would say that, you know, probably you're not talking to an agency if you're not selling more than $10,000 per month. If you're not, did I say that right? It felt like there was a double negative there. If you're selling more than $10,000 per month, then an agency might be correct for you. Otherwise, I would probably do it in-house and try to keep it simple and focused, you know, as best as you can. Use software to supplement your process, not to replace your strategy. There's no software out there right now that is creating any kind of a decent strategy.
Yeah.
That still requires research and ingenuity and all those other kinds of things. So
one other question, just like we talked about before, that you can ask an agency is, what's their demographic?
And yeah, so you know what? I mean, ours is pretty diverse mm-hmm. as far as who we handle, as far as which marketplaces in the world that we handle, as far as which product lines that we go after. You know, if you come to us and you say, it's like, hey, I've got a great COVID face mask, then we're going to turn you away because you've got 300,000 competitors. You know, yeah. I'm already in that space. Don't need to be there. You know, there's things like that that are going to be where it's like it doesn't make sense. And we'll flat out tell you, you know, if you interview with us, we may come back and say we're not going to take you on. But here's our recommendations to move you forward. So that's kind of a benefit of talking to an agency is they'll likely do some kind of an analysis for you and tell you where your strengths and weaknesses are. I know that's what we do.
Very good. So we're coming down. Anybody who wants to enter, just put I want Brian or tag two people. We'll give it 30 seconds and then we'll do another, do the wheel, of fortune.
Yes.
Brian, you know, while we're waiting
on this too, for everybody who hasn't tagged and gotten in on this is, so there was basically, there's two of these that I'm giving away as far as 30 minute consultations. They both say PPC, but actually because I can do either PPC, obviously, that's my first and foremost love, right? The second one, of course, is like product positioning and conversion rate optimization of listings, which may have a higher value for some of you. So you gotta have that flexibility. It's like, well, I want to do this one instead of PPC, for instance.
Okay. All right. So, Kelsey.
Okay. Is everyone ready?
You don't look like that.
More there. Nice.
All right, so yeah, how many do we got?
Edward, wait for Sarah to break it up and have Drew and then Sarah as a separate one.
All right, so we have Edward, Herb, Drew, and Sarah.
Leonard. Collins.
Leonard, yeah, you're already in there, Leonard. You take two people. Mark, Dalwin. Okay, so if you guys are ready, I'll go ahead and press the button. Here we go.
Mark gets it by so just close. Squeaks by Darwin. So Kels, just how are people going to claim it?
All right. So our winners are Marsha and Mark. So to get in touch with me, just email me k@lunchwithnorm.com.
All right.
And then Kelsey, I'll get you that link, that Calendly link, to make it easier for them to book with me.
Perfect. All right, so I'll just send them that link.
Once I can't believe it. This has been by far the longest podcast we've had. You are in demand, sir. And how do people get a hold of you?
But they don't. No, I don't want to be contacted at all. No, so of course, I mean, I always, you know, my agency team, of course, would hang me if I didn't come in and say, it's like, well, of course, send them over to you know, canopymanagement.com and request, you know, basically a free consultation. Even if, you know, you think like maybe, you know, it may not be a good fit if you are just starting out, but at the same time, for those who have an agency or who have a brand that is, you know, maybe a little bit established, and you obviously want to outsource, then that's something that certainly have the conversation, see if it's a good fit. Right. It's not a sales pitch. It's just more like, we're going to tell you, here's what's strong about your ad strategy. Here's what's weak. You can either go fix it yourself or we can handle it for you. So that's kind of a benefit that you get out of those kind of interviews. If you're just getting started out, things like the Amazon PPC troubleshooting group on Facebook, especially the welcome resources that are listed there. Mm. I've got like full on, like, here's a 17-step optimization checklist that you can just follow and go like, wow, this is really dirt simple as far as how to optimize. There's also links out to my YouTube channel and everything there. So that's probably the two places that I'd point, either Canopy Management or the Facebook group.
Do you still have that course out?
Sponsored Broadcast Academy. Yes, we sure do.
I was a member of the first one, but it's sponsored Ad Academy 2 now. Is that correct?
Sponsored Products Academy 3 is the current
3?
One. Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's a six-week training course. So, yeah, it's no joke.
I got to check that out.
Plus, weekly Q&A sessions like this with my students, too.
Oh, that's great. I do have one question, completely off topic. Mm-hmm. Canopy. I'm just wondering, did you get the name Canopy from when we were doing the canopy thing?
No, actually, so I am not the creative when it comes to branding. I'm not the guy for branding. My branding history is track record. It sucks. That actually came from my business partner, who is the CEO now of the agency. He came up with it. It was intended to be kind of a double entendre, as far as like, you know, we've got you covered, and there's an alignment with, you know, the Amazon rainforest, you know, forest canopy, that kind of stuff. And a common question on that is, it's kind of funny, is the canopy management also refers to the weed growing industry. So we do periodically get people who call us up and say, hey, do you need some, you know, some greenhouses for your weed, you know, for your cannabis and all that kind of stuff. It's like, yeah, that's wrong industry. My old office, I actually had somebody where I had canopy management on the door. I would actually have a couple of people that stopped in once in a while. They stick their head in and so it's like, are you a dispensary? It's like, no.
That's your other business.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much for your time. We're over 90 minutes, so I really appreciate it. Hope you can come back and get into the other topic about, you know, how to defend that listing. But thank you. I can't tell you enough how much I enjoyed talking to you today.
Good. I enjoy these. I enjoy helping everybody to try to move, you know, kind of move things forward. You know, if you got value out of this, please let Norm and Kelsey know, so that they might be interested in bringing me back for a round two.
Or three or four. We'll talk about that later. All right. So thank you, everybody, for joining us and staying on board for 90 minutes with Brian today. Once again, you can find all these episodes on the Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy page, or if you want to watch the video, go to YouTube, check out Norm Farrar. We've got some really great, Kelsey's doing a great job with repurposing the content and just taking clips as well as the full episodes. We have the news magazine, or the, not the net magazine, that'll be next. We've got the newsletter that doesn't suck, filled with content, and just check it out. It's got some really great content, comes out different every Monday. So next week we are having, and Kelsey, you can join Friday. Me anytime.
Friday.
But, it's Friday.
Yes.
Yeah. Thanksgiving's tomorrow, Friday. By the way, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. But Friday, we've got a returning guest, Carlo Alvarez. I can't wait for him to come on. And we're going to be talking more about building communities. If you don't know Carlos, he's got one of the largest member or groups out there. I think he's in the 40,000, maybe higher. But he's going to share some tips and tricks how he built that. I think also he's a 9-figure Amazon seller. I think I got that right. Anyways, incredible guy. Make sure you tune in Friday. It's going to be cool. All right, Kelsey, what do we got to do?
Yes. So for those new viewers that tuned in today, if you want to learn more about us, you can go to our Facebook group right here, Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA and E-commerce Collective. Yeah, you can go there, ask questions about Norm to me. If you have just general Amazon and online seller questions, you can run past your ideas or thoughts, just anything. We're just kind of building a community here. But yes, we also have our Facebook page, which is Norman Farrar, aka The Beard Guy. Looks like Tim.
Hey, Tim's there.
Thanks for the great information.
I know today. Tim.
All right. So, and we are a podcast. So if you prefer just listening to your podcast on a commute, you can find us on Spotify and Apple.
Okay. And one other thing, probably the most important thing that we have to talk about, is we have to put a new poll in the group, what to name your mustache. It's got to name it something.
I appreciate the Borat pictures going on in the group. It was always great to see. Also, if you guys want Brian back, hashtag we want Brian in the comment sections. But I have a feeling he'll be back.
I have a feeling too. So Hey, everybody. Again, thank you for joining this 90-minute podcast today. You can tune in every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Eastern Standard Time at noon. Thank you for watching. Have a happy Thanksgiving and enjoy the rest of your day. Lunch with the lunch.